ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between and beyond, welcome to another episode of Dr. Fix Me. Greetings, I am your host, Dr. Elias Fix Me, at your service, and if this is the first time you're joining the show, welcome, I really appreciate you being here. And for the rest of you fixer-uppers, you know how this introduction goes. All I'm trying to do is help this world out one person, one issue at a time, which is why I have a doctorate in radio and television broadcasting, with a specialization in tabloid talk shows. Now, you may be wondering, why would anyone study tabloid talk shows? Well, that's because my heroes are the likes of Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, Sally Jesse Raphael, Jenny Jones, Ricky Lake, we got Montel Williams, Phil Donahue, Geraldo Rivera, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, even Oprah, because they spent their careers helping people. Each new episode of their show, they would transform the lives of someone new. And I thought to myself, well, hey, why can't I help people as well? So that's why I have this podcast and the power of the internet and an amazing team of producers who connect me with people all over the world to learn who they are, how they are hurt, and how I may be able to help them. And on today's show, my producers have connected me with a Nigel Krim, who is this true? My producers tell me that Nigel Krim is a 37-year-old woodsman who is looking for his biological family. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope to help out with this. Well, without any further ado, let's meet our first guest, Nigel Krim. Welcome, Nigel, to Dr. Fix Me.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Nigel. Do I detect an accent?
Yeah, there's a little accent there.
Oh, okay.
It's from a long time of just talking like this. It's how it sounds, you know. You have an accent. You have an accent as well, am I right?
Yes, I do have an accent.
Here's a little bit. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. My accent comes from the Midwest of the United States of America.
Oh, okay. I've never been.
And may I ask where your accent comes from, if I may ask?
It's from the south of Germany. A beautiful little town. It was just such a time to grow up. It was always sunny and just beautiful. Always spending all my time outside. Just the best. It's the best childhood ever.
Oh,
and
wow.
I found memories of that place and my time there with the family who they were kind, but apparently they're not my real family.
Oh. Yeah, I understand that it says here that you're looking for your biological family. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Okay. So I spent 37, I'm about to be 38 in a couple of months, but 37 some years thinking that this one family is my family, and they're wonderful. I had a great childhood and am very secure. But they recently told me that I was adapted, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask, how recent did you find out that you are adopted?
Yeah, just in the past few months. So
just this year, you found out that you are adopted. Oh, my goodness. So 37 years, you're spending with the same family only to discover that, and not even discover, they just shared this with you? Can you walk me through that? Take me back a couple months ago when they revealed to you that you were adopted.
Yeah, okay. So I had just been outside for 12 hours cutting wood, just cutting down trees and making them into lumber for the winter. Very hard job, very sweaty. So I spent all day doing that, and I'm just tired. I want to go home. So I live with my parents still. I live with my foster parents or my adopted parents. I live with them. So I go home and I just say, hey, hold my calls. I'm going to bed. So they say, hey, Nigel, we want to talk to you for a second. Please sit down. I say, well, can I change? They're like, well, let's talk, and then you can go change. So I come and I sit down in the living room. I take the big chair, which is strange because usually Papa has the big chair. So they put me in a big chair. I'm like, okay, this is a special something. So I'm very worried. My heart is rushing. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? And they say, well, we should have told you this a long time ago. And they didn't, obviously. So they say, well, Nigel, you are adopted. And they didn't really build it up a lot. They just told me. And I mean, as you would expect, I was speechless for a long time and just...
They seemed rather casual about this. It seemed like
Was
it difficult for them to share this with you?
I mean, I think it was because, you know, you would think you would tell me years ago when I'm like 12 or 18 or something like that, for it would affect me more directly. But, you know, they told me now because I think they felt weird at the time. When I was a teenager, I wasn't home a lot because outside. So maybe it just didn't fit right. So I think this just might feel best for them to tell me now that, you know, I'm a full adult and I have, you know, my whole life kind of set. And they must have thought that, hey, it's easier now and we have to tell him before he dies. And, you know, the median age of a German nowadays is in the upper 40s. So,
I didn't realize that. Germans die at an early age?
Yeah, you didn't know that? I thought that was common knowledge that, yeah, in mid upper 40s, Germans are withering away.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea. I'm sorry to hear that, Nigel. So as a 37-year-old, you're middle-aged, I guess.
Yeah. I'm an old German man. So,
oh my goodness. And I'm curious to know why did your parents wait until you were 37 and why tell you at all? Why not just keep it a secret this whole time? Well, do you know why they even shared with you that you were adopted?
Well, what they explained to me is that the guilt was just heavy on their shoulders for not telling me for decades and decades. So they said, you know, we've been trying to find the right time. And, you know, coming up on your 38th birthday, which you have the big part, it's a big German party for. You always have a big 38th party. So they said,
year for German people? I understand like in a Hispanic culture, like there'll be a quinceañera for when a girl turns 15 or a bar mitzvah for when a young Jewish boy turns 13. But Germans, when you turn 38, what is that celebration?
When you're 38, it's the Scheißerwitz.
It's the what?
Your Scheißerwitz. So
what's the Scheißerwitz?
The Scheißerwitz. You turn 38, you have your Scheißerwitz. So they wanted to tell me before I had my Scheißerwitz.
It's okay. It was it's a momentous occasion, and they felt that they owed you by the time that you have this special birthday, this Scheißerwitz my goodness. And being so old, I'm curious, something else that caught my attention, Nigel, is that you're about to turn 38. You don't, you're not expected to live. I mean, Lord knows how long you'll live on this earth, but it sounds like as a German, you're not expected to live beyond the late 40s. So you have approximately 10 years left, and yet you still live at home. Is there a reason for that, may I ask? Has it been difficult?
So, I mean, I could have moved away a long time ago and gone to college, gone to you know, just on trips and such, but I grew up in such a beautiful area, and there didn't seem to be much reason to go. They needed woodsmen. I love woodsing. I hadn't had my Scheißerwitz, and I would have to come back anyways. So it just fit well to, I think, stay at home. I'm on good terms still with my adopted parents. And I have no wishes to move in with anyone, I don't think. Move in with anyone. I just want to reach out and meet my birth parents.
What do you know about your birth parents? I understand your mom and dad, they tell you that they're not your real mom and dad. What information do they have on your real mom and dad?
Well, they told me that they are not from Germany, so that will come as some shock to me, I'm sure, when I meet them. But they are not from Germany.
You're not German.
I'm not. I grow up German. So, and it's all I know. It's all I know. So I think it'll be the weirdest that they're not German, and I'm a big man, so I expect they're very big. They're very big people. They spend a lot of time outside.
You have a very thick neck. When you tell me that you're a woodsman, I absolutely believe that you are you are a laborer.
You can see it before you even talk to me, and as soon as you talk to me, like, oh, he's definitely a woodsman. So.
That's okay. I understand if you get emotional, Nigel. That I want you to know this.
Yeah,
is a safe
it's just
space
a very it's just a very weird time for me, and I'm usually so sturdy and grounded, and it's just I'm not sure what is true, and you know, so it's
well,
just
Nigel.
It's
I want you to
weird.
Know you're in good hands. You're in
thank
good
you,
hands
thank
here.
You.
This
thank
is a safe you. Space. I'm on your side. I want to connect you with your biological parents or any member of your family. I have a few more questions though. I want to know about your current family. Did this change things for you and your family? Or are you the only adopted child? Or do you have any siblings? What I'm curious.
Yeah, I have four siblings. They are all girls. I thought it was maybe weird that I was the only man in my family, but you know, sometimes some families work like that.
Okay. Are you like the middle child? Are you the oldest, the youngest? Where do you fit?
I am the baby by 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have five girls and then 10 years later they have this boy. So, I mean, that's a huge thing to see now that's maybe weird, but I had no reason to think before then that having all girls, long blonde hair. My hair is not blonde. Obviously, it is super red. So you have all these girls with blonde hair, and then 10 years later, you have a blonde boy. Who's to say? A red-haired boy. I apologize.
Oh, did your hair change to red? Or were you born blonde?
It's okay. You're going to laugh at me. I didn't know my hair color until I was 15.
Oh. You assumed you were blonde until you were 15?
I assumed. I mean, all of my sisters were blonde. My parents were blonde. And then I was always bald. They shaved my head. If it would get even a little bit, they'd shave it. So I assumed I was blonde. And then I was 15. And they forgot to cut my hair and said, okay, they were probably planning on telling me around when I was 15.
Your adopted parents forced you to be bald? They shaved your head?
I mean, when you're a child, it's not really a force. Just they tell you, like, you're going to get a haircut. You're like, okay, I'll go get a haircut. It's not like you plan to not get a haircut. That's when you get a haircut. So
okay.
So yeah, I just didn't have hair until I was 15. They let it grow, and
all right. It sounds like your relationship with your adopted parents is a loving relationship. Is that accurate? Okay. And
yeah.
And does it remain that way even though you know you're adopted?
It does. The only difference. I mean, I hope this is healthy. I hope this is healthy that I'm distancing myself slightly. I'm getting my own apartment in my town.
You are.
Yeah.
So after 37 years, you're flying the coop, as it were.
Yeah. I think if I hadn't found out that they were not my birth parents, I probably would stay there until I was 45, 46, and I died. But
oh, wow.
Now with this new news, I thought, okay, I should maybe have a little space, have my own apartment. So, you know, for my Shizovitz, I have maybe some more space to myself.
Okay. So what are you, I understand what your problem is. You're looking for your adopted, your biological family. And is there, what research have you done on your own? Or have you done any at all?
Well, I tried to go on Ancestry.com, but when you don't know any names or anything, it's very difficult. So I found grandparents, but no names. Just pictures.
You found people, pictures of your grandparents, but there was no name. And there was no names.
There was just pictures. And it said, maybe, you know, have you ever done Ancestry where there's a little leaf and you just like, the leaf could be it or not it. So you click it and you're like, well, maybe. And then you do your own research. And so I look at the pictures and I'm like, okay, I can see it. And they're black and white. So I don't know if it's true or not, but it looked like their hair might be red. They both have very long hair. They're big. So I'm like, okay, that could be it.
But because it's black and white, it's hard to tell the color of
it's
their
hard
hair.
To tell. It's hard to tell.
I understand.
It is obviously light hair. So it could be blonde. It could be red. Okay. It's hard to tell.
Well, it's a shame, Nigel, that you don't know more about your biological family, your parents, your adopted parents, didn't tell you more about where you come from. They said that they they knew that you weren't German, but did they say where your parents, your biological parents were from? Do you have any clue where they, what country they're from?
They said from the West, but...
The West.
But if you keep going West, you end up where you are. So they could be literally anywhere.
That's awfully vague. Okay, well,
yeah.
Nigel, I want you to know that I have an amazing team of producers here who are able to connect me with people all over the world. And I got to let you know, though, you haven't given us much to go off of. My producers are scratching their heads. They're trying to isolate someone. We think we may have found someone who can at least help us illuminate more of your situation. Because as we all know, there's more than one side to every story. And I hopefully our next guest can help solidify or give you some answers to all your questions. So Nigel, if you'll hold just one moment, I think we have my producers have is this true? My producers say we have someone named Red Yeti Etsu. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. So without any further ado, let's welcome on our next guest, Red Yeti Etsu, onto Dr. Fix Me. Hello, Red.
Ah!
Hi, do we have a... Is this Red Yeti Etsu? Are you okay?
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start like that. I just took it was a really hot sip I just took, and it kind of burned the roof of my mouth.
Oh, really sorry. Okay. I thought you were coming in with a lot of emotion, but it just sounds like it was just pain.
I mean, we don't... we're not really an emotion type of species, so no, not really.
Species? You mean human, right?
No, I'm a Yeti.
I'm sorry? I'm speaking to a Yeti?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I it's really hard to tell. Your image is a little pixelated. I'm seeing a kind of a blur.
I'm deep in the mountains and woods. I mean, how good is your connection?
Oh, well, that's why I can't see you clearly.
Governments get Wi-Fi to everyone, and the Yeti population has very low access, just so you know, in the tall woods and mountains and caves where we dwell.
Oh my goodness. I have to ask the listeners to forgive the sirens that I'm hearing. I believe someone has a lot of police activity in their area.
Oh, that's a siren? Oh, I just thought that was a female feeling good. That's the sound they make when they're feeling good.
Oh, is that also
I'm slightly aroused.
Wow, Mr. Etsu, wow. Can I call
Itsu.
You Mr. Etsu? Oh, Etsu. Okay, Red Yeti Etsu.
Well, my name is just Etsu. I'm just happen to be a Red Yeti, but you know, for humans, everything because you're animals.
My producers who gave me a card with three words, Red Yeti Etsu. I didn't realize that the first two words described the third word. Okay,
it's what I am. It's all right.
So you're a Yeti, and on top of that, you're red. You do seem to be rather red.
Well, thank you. It is winter. We get redder, so.
Wow. Okay. Mm. Well, I guess Mr. Etsu, Mr. Yeti Etsu, I'm sorry, I'm stumbling. I've never met a Yeti before. So Etsu, we've connected you on the show. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Fix Me, but
I'm not.
We have on the show, I'm a doctor of matters of the heart. I do my best to typically I try to bridge the gap between two guests, and it seems Etsu that we have someone here, a Nigel Krim on the show. I don't know if you can see Nigel.
Call it what you want.
Do you see Nigel here on the screen?
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, I see
okay.
it.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
What? Itsu,
what?
Itsu, do you recognize Nigel Krim at all?
I do. It's my offspring.
Oh, you recognize Nigel as one of your own?
It's one of my offspring,
Papa?
Yeah.
Papa?
Can you calm down? Humans are so emotional.
What?
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I beg your pardon, Etsu, because Nigel has been looking for the past couple months for his biological father.
I know. It's really annoying. It's echoing through the whole thing. He's chopping wood and singing and echoing through how he's missing his family, and it's echoing through the canyons. It's like, fuck, man. That's why I banned you to begin with.
Wait, are you also located in the south of Germany?
Yeah, he's half human and therefore half useless. You know,
Wait, Nigel, wait, not only are we discovering that Nigel Krim is adopted, but also he's half human, half Yeti?
Adopted, whatever. The humans didn't let him die. That's why they're weak.
Wow. So wait, tell me about your story, Mr. Etsu. Were you trying to give up your son for adoption, or did you abandon him? What's your side
of this
story?
Oh, I just abandoned him in the woods. Yeah, I mean, I knew he was part woodsman, so I just abandoned him. Because those woodsmen, you get them on the wrong day, and they're trying to axe at you, and they're just real sons of bitches.
Well, tell me about what. How does Nigel Crim become half?
Well, his mother was human. I was in Yeti University learning how to rip shit apart and terrorize.
There's a Yeti University? Forget my ignorance.
We're not animals.
Well, technically, you are.
Technically, you are.
Yes. Okay. Touche.
Technically, we all are. All right.
So I experimented with this human, you know, woods woman, and she was annoying. She was always on me, like, get a name. So I ate her sister, Sue. And I'm like, hey, I'll eat Sue.
Oh, wait. So you developed a name from your action of eating your,
yeah.
Your, oh,
she
oh
was
my
eight
goodness.
Months pregnant with it. And then she just was, could not stop. Like, I can't keep calling you, like, just come over here. And I'm like, we don't have names. We're Yetis. We just know each other on smell.
You don't use names, yet you have a university. That is a lot.
Oh, yes, we learn. He's still caught up on that. Did you solve a lot of problems, so-called doctor?
Well, I do solve problems, and I'm trying, and I feel like I've helped Nigel get closer to his...
Yetis are so dumb. Have you found one of us ever? Never, because we're smart. No, we're like a Wakanda, but somewhere else.
Oh, you're familiar with Wakanda.
Yeah, we're all familiar. Our secret societies talk. Yes, absolutely, because
humans
suck balls.
Secret societies, there's... Wow, Mr. Itsu, this is a lot.
I shouldn't say suck balls is bad, because as a Yeti, I do enjoy sucking the balls of humans when I eat them.
Nigel, forgive me, but I feel like I have to ask a question on your behalf here, Nigel. Now,
please.
Itsu, we've just met you for the first time, but what was the name of Nigel's mother, the woman with whom you copulated?
Oh, God, Nigel? I'll never forget it. Beverly.
Beverly, okay. And her
Beverly
former
and her
sister,
stupid sister
Sue.
Sue, who Sue's like, oh, let's not go in the woods, there's evils. And I'm like, fuck you, bitch, let's go into your town where they torture people, you devil.
Oh my goodness. Now, you have such a contempt for humans. What attracted you to Beverly
in the
first place?
Yeah, you torch people, you act like animals. I mean, you guys are really savage beasts, I'm just saying.
Well, what attracted you to Beverly, if you think humans are so
savage? I mean, if you saw his mother, it was a beast of a woman. Look at this kid, strapping young lad. I mean, like, she was good. She can chop some lumber. And, you know, we're not that different. I mean, I, I'm a Yeti. Sometimes we just see something, we want it. You know?
Wow. Okay. And now that you are face-to-face with Nigel Crim here, you know what? I feel like I've done too much. Nigel, you have the floor now to interact with your biological father. If there's any questions, anything burning questions inside you, please, go ahead. You have the floor.
Wow. So do you want to go see a movie? Or?
Oh, my God.
Mr. Itsu, you're shaking your head. Itsu, do you not?
Is that a no? Or?
I don't even know what a movie is. I don't even know what that is.
You're familiar with Wakanda, and
universities,
and universities, and yet you're unfamiliar with what a movie is.
Oh, motion
That's
picture.
That's okay.
Yeah,
That's
motion
okay.
picture. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Not everything translates over in different cultures, you guys.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Yeti.
Okay.
But I think ultimately what Nigel Crim is asking for is. Time. Would you be willing to spend time with your son?
Him? No.
You don't want to spend time with Nigel?
Not even a little bit. Seeing him face to face makes me think I was right to abandon him.
Oh, wow. Why? And why did you abandon your son?
Because I didn't want him. Why do you abandon something?
And why did you not want me? Did you?
Because you're half human woodsman. Who knows how you'll end up? And, you know.
I'm also half Yeti.
I mean, that's a good point, I guess. You know, you mighty ducked me there.
He Mighty Ducks you? What does that mean?
That famous scene from that motion picture where he said, if I missed the goal only by a little bit to the left, and I'm like, hey, but you would have missed completely.
You
could have
missed it. Yeah.
Oh,
it's all about
I see.
Perspectives. One thing Yeti culture we love, perspectives.
Okay. Now, I got to know, where's Beverly in all of this? When you abandoned Nigel, did you also abandon Beverly too?
Oh, no. Right after the boy was born, I killed her.
What? You killed Beverly?
She wanted to keep it.
Me?
Sure. And as most dominant males will say, a female can't be in control of her body.
Oh, is that what dominant males say?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, right? Isn't that like the ones that rip each other apart and, you know, climb ahead to be dominant, you know?
I would imagine maybe more of the more fearsome, grotesque men may have those beliefs. But
That's what you want. You want to be the scariest and the biggest and like have teeth and rip people apart.
Well, you're definitely the scariest and biggest person I've met on this show, Mr. Itsu.
Well, you're not a person, massive thank Yeti. You.
Well, you're violent. You're,
you want to get down to
you're
it.
Grotesque.
What I mean with humans and labels and this kid, like, you see the emotions in his face and the love in his heart. He's weak.
I just want to spend time with you.
Ugh.
Well, Nigel, are you sure about that? This seems like, what about Mr. Itsu here makes you want to, other than the fact that he's your biological father, why would you want to hang out with someone who killed your aunt on a whim because he didn't have a name? He ate Sue and then it becomes Itsu and then he killed your mother, Beverly. Are you sure you still want to spend time with him, Nigel?
I choose not to judge anyone based on their past. So if I can get to know the what?
So I have a fear for you, Nigel. My fear is that if you're not aware of Itsu's actions in the past, that you might not realize that your death will be his future. Like he might kill you.
I'm dying in 5, 6, 7 years anyway. If my mother and Aunt Sue die by my father's maw, then maybe that's the best way to go.
Wow.
I would like to wait until after my Shizovitz, but.
I mean, we do like to eat them right when they get into their 40s. Humans are really good because, you know, that's about the size they're going to get.
Oh, yeah. You've eaten 40-year-old humans before? And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. His mother was 40 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. Germans have babies late into life. They're good. So, that's why we,
Despite the danger, Nigel, you're still willing to take a risk and you still want to hang out with your biological father, Itsu?
Yeah, I mean, after all this time, I just want to get to know him. I don't want anything, any money or wood. Just want to.
Wow.
Just want to get to know him.
That's really touching. I'm actually stunned, Nigel. I would have thought that you would have run away and just been content with where you are because it's your adopted parents certainly don't hold this this I don't know. Danger over you. They're not so as perilous as a violent killing Yeti, but wow, you still want to hang out with your biological father.
And that's what's wrong with this kid. I mean, you got to just feel rage.
And you
and
hold
fear.
It against your son.
Rage and fear are the only two things you should feel at any time.
Oh my goodness.
I feel I've spent most of my life running away by just staying home. That I want to run. I want to run at something.
Yeah, there you go. Run at something.
I meet my papa, and I just want to run at him.
He wants to run at you, Itsu. He wants to run at you.
Yeah, give him a hug and just.
If
show
he ran
him
at me, honestly, I would defend myself just out of instinct.
I'd rip him
to shreds. I don't know.
I can't tell if you're threatening your son or if you're just stating facts.
I feel like if he's running at me.
Yeah.
And?
Or maybe even just running. Maybe the act of running, sometimes that gets me going. Like the act of the chase can get me going. Sometimes it's best just to stand still, maybe.
Well, yes. Let's talk about that. Is there a proper way to approach you so as to not trigger your defense mechanism and leave Nigel dead?
Huh. No one's ever asked that before. You usually kill the person by this point.
Is there anything he can do? I know like, for some bears,
Has he murdered anybody?
I don't know. Nigel, have you murdered anyone? I hope not.
I mean, all the trees I cut down, which are technically living beings.
Okay.
The random small animal that gets in the way of the tree, axe. Yeah, I use an axe.
I mean, that's part of the reason I worry about it, because, you know, these woodsmen are so touchy. You do something wrong, and they're starting to, you know, hunt you yetis. That's why I have to hide all the time.
Well, Nigel looks rather tough. He seems rather stout.
Of course, he's half Yeti. I mean, he's still half awesome. He just half sucks always.
Oh my goodness!
And you aren't willing to look past the half suck to experience awesome.
I had you with your mother, you know, and I killed and ate her, and she was all human.
Yeah. Why isn't your name Eat Bev?
Because I ate Sue first.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you know what? I think right now we need to take a moment to pause to reflect on what we've said about each other and to each other, because I still have hope for you, Itsu and Nigel, and I think there's a way we can get together. But right now we need to take a pause to hear a word from our sponsor. We're, in fact, about to run out of time here on the free Zoom account, so we're going to take a hard break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from our sponsor.
The greatest dog around.
And we're back on A Doctor Fix Me. You want to take this time now to hear a word from our sponsor. As we all know, this is showbiz after all, and the business part of this show is hearing a live read of one of our local sponsors or global sponsors. We have people from all over the world selling their wares, their products, and or services. So without any further ado, let's welcome our sponsor, Hal's Gas. Welcome, Hal's Gas, to Dr. Fix Me.
Hi, I'm Hal. You got a car. I got gas.
Oh, is that all? Is that the commercial?
Yeah, I got gas all over the nation.
All right, wow, thank you very much, Hal's Gas. I like the very succinct and simple ad read right there. You've got a car, I've got gas. Okay, I like that. And so, Hal's Gas. Now, I guess I have some questions for you. I feel like the
sounds more... so good.
Yeah, it does. It sounds. I mean, I feel like who couldn't use gas? That sounds like something that's still relevant in the world. Sure, we do have electric vehicles on the rise, but the majority of vehicles still need that gasoline. And I imagine that's what you're referring to, gasoline.
I got all kinds of gas.
Oh, well, please tell us about your variety of gas.
Any kind of gas you need, I got it. We're running a little low on helium, but I got it.
Oh, helium for cars? Or is that
sure.
just
yeah,
have
you
all
got
kind
a helium car?
No. Well, I mean,
by,
usually
yeah.
When I think of helium gas, I think of like the gas that makes your voice change, or a gas that makes balloons, you know, levitate, or soar up in the air. Why do you have helium gas? What purpose do you use helium gas for?
I sell it.
Okay, you sell it. And what are the ideal uses of helium? Like, if any of our listeners are interested in helium, what are some things that they could use helium for?
Helium is most used for in microchip processing building.
It is? Oh, wow. So if anyone wants to build a microchip processor, they could use your helium to help with the manufacturing of it?
I got gas to sell.
All right. And for listener, Hal is lighting a cigarette now for the second or third time, that same cigarette. Hal's Gas, is that a little dangerous to be working in the gas field while smoking a cigarette? I don't suppose you're anywhere near gas.
I'm all around it. I have gas in the room right now. I'm just dangerous.
Oh, my goodness. You have gas
man.
In the room with you right now.
I sell gas.
Well, don't you think that's a little dangerous to be smoking, to have an open flame?
Yes, it's very dangerous.
Wow, why do you do it then, if it is so dangerous? If it could kill you in a flash?
I'm a badass.
I can only take your word for that, Mr. Hal. And, you must be the titular Hal, right? And you're not a spokesman for Hal's Gas. You are Hal, and this is your gas.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty badass dude.
Okay.
I like that. Now, I like that Yeti guy. I hang out with him.
Oh, you're aware of one of our guests, the Red Yeti Itsu?
Yeah, I've been listening with the headphones. They gave me headphones. Your producers are pretty cool.
Okay. So
yeah, like this guy's style. He's a good guy.
Oh, you. This is one human that you approve of, Itsu?
Hey Yeti.
Yeah.
Yeti.
Yeah.
You got any Yeti gas I could have?
I mean, we do churn human bone down into a pretty good accelerant that we could give to you on a premium.
Sounds amazing. Yeah, we're going to talk. We're going to talk, me and you.
Yeah.
We're going to talk.
I'll talk. I want to talk.
Sure. Nigel, go ahead.
God, again with this.
The gas man is 100% human, and you say humans are weak. I'm half Yeti, half awesome.
Some humans, you know, just exude Yeti machismo. Like your mother Beverly did.
Itsu, you saying that you recognize Yeti machismo in our sponsor, Hal?
Oh yeah.
What about him is attracts you, Itsu, as
you
opposed
know,
to
Yetis
your son
are
Nigel?
Just fearless, and you know, we know what we're about, and we have a little bit of evil in us, but also a lot of bit of evil in us, and we can just recognize that. And some humans have that.
You recognize the evil in Hal's Gas? I don't know that that's fair to say that our sponsor is evil.
Some humans for sure have that. You know, I've seen humans, movies, Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh, the movies.
Machismo, right?
Oh, okay.
Sure. The motion pictures, Betty White, Yeti Machismo.
Betty White? Her machismo?
Oh, yeah. All right.
I've never considered Betty White to have a machismo quality.
George Stephanopoulos? Yeti Machismo.
Joseph Mavis, the journalist?
The late Princess Di had some Yeti Machismo. Fearless. Walked around in minefields. Fearless.
Well, I don't want to take away...
The late, great Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I've seen Ruth Bader Ginsburg rip the throat out of somebody with her own claw.
RBG exuded red Yeti machismo?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't want to
so
take any time away.
Some humans can do it, but then you have the rest of the humans that are terrible.
Oh. Okay.
Like Beverly's son over here.
Oh, my goodness. He has a name. You got to address your son by his name.
I don't know his name. No one's told me his name yet.
What do you mean? It's been discussed this entire time. It's Nigel. I've been addressing it as Nigel. Nigel, go ahead.
Give me a Yeti name.
There are no Yeti names.
It's based on what I've done. What have I done? Give me my Yeti name.
You've done nothing, so nothing. That's your name.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Nigel, I'm afraid you walked into that one. I'm so sorry,
shit.
Nigel. How's gas?
Yetis don't walk into stuff. We run headfirst into it, no matter what we know.
That I believe to be true. I don't know that much about Yetis, but what I've learned from you, Mr. Itsu, is that is an accurate statement. Now, Hal, I want to get back to you and all this gas that you sell. This is your sponsored spot, after all, and then you've paid for this time. You mentioned cars. Is your gas specifically for cars, or is it just gas for all uses?
I mentioned want to hear helium. Etsu more.
Say again.
I'm going to give my time to Etsu.
Oh, you're done. That's.
I'm
but I mean,
not
what,
done.
What if anyone wants to purchase your
time,
gas, Hal? How can anyone reach you?
Just go to one of my gas stations. Bring your car. Your I don't know, Mom. I heard Nigel. I'm sorry to hear about your mother. She seemed like a real whore.
I think it's Nigel, and I don't know if that's afraid. I don't know if it's fair to disparage his mother as a
Neagle?
Whore because she. No, why would you say Neagle?
She fucked a Yeti.
Oh boy.
She fucked a Yeti good.
Well, Hal, if you want to, I guess, abdicate your time or concede your time back to Itsu and Nigel here, I guess we can do that. Unless, if anyone wants to get a hold of you, Hal's Gas, they just show up to any one of your many gas stations? I didn't hear a response. Yeah? Okay, yeah. All right, fine. All right, wow. Well, Itsu, Nigel.
I want to learn more about this Hal's Gas.
Me too. You know what
Itsu,
me
is
too.
It crushed into? Where do you get your human bones for your accelerant?
Human bones? I don't
we
think
we crush
that
human bones into everything. It's a miracle thing. You humans don't use it because you use them for skeletons, you idiot.
Oh boy. I don't appreciate being called an idiot on behalf
of the entire...
I'm
smoking human bones right now.
Is that what you're smoking, Mr. Itsu? I see you smoking something. I see a fire.
Human bones. Well, we always have fires. We live in the deep wilderness.
Oh my goodness, Nigel! I gotta warn you against encountering your biological father. He smokes human bones. Oh my goodness! I feel like he's being purposefully obtuse here,
yeah.
Nigel. I can only warn you.
Did you just call a Yeti obtuse?
Yes.
That's low,
Nigel. Nigel. I'm. You guys were gone for a bit. You're back, Nigel. If you meet your father, I'll give you some advice. All right?
Yeah.
I know about gas. I know about a lot of things. I know about love.
Oh.
Okay.
For listener, he's lighting his cigarette for the fifth time.
Nigel, you go see your father. You be careful. He's going to try to fuck you.
What?
Yeah.
How is that? Wait, Itsu, you're agreeing with this?
I will try first. If I don't murder something.
He's a dirty Yeti. He eats people and he fucks things. Okay. You be careful, son.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that true
of
Yetis? If you can't kill something, you'll try to have sex with it or vice versa?
No, much like dolphins. Dolphins and Yetis, close cousins and like a genus in a family genus.
Wow. I did not know that. I'm learning a lot today.
Well, dolphins rape for pleasure. It's sick fasters.
Oh my goodness. Nigel, I gotta touch base with you. This is your episode. You're the one I'm trying to fix, but I feel like we're getting further from the problem. I mean, we were close by meeting your father, but how does it feel? How do you feel now after all this has been uncovered?
I mean, I just feel defeated. Like, I came in hoping to meet, what did I do now? I come in trying to meet my new papa, and he just wants to eat me or fuck me, and I just can't. I think I've given up. I've given up unless Unless there's something else that can help me, I've given up. And
yeah, Nigel, I'm worried that you're better off. I'm worried that you were better off not even appearing on the show, not even beginning the search for your biological father. I feel like in this case, ignorance is bliss. But I don't want you to lose hope, Nigel, because listening this entire time has been a special guest, someone who's an expert in a specific field who can help illuminate your issue here, and hopefully they can give you better advice than what I can offer. Because right now, I'm out of my wheelhouse here. I feel ill-prepared to offer you proper advice, but hopefully this next guest can help us. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Chimera, Research Division of Ancestry.com. Welcome, Chimera, to Dr. Fix Me.
Hi, Elias. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, you know me on a first name basis?
Long time listener, big time fan.
Oh wow! I'm so excited to have a fan on the show. So, and did I say your name correctly? Is it Chimera?
It is Chimera.
Hi Chimera, and I see here you have my producers gave me a card that said that you're part of some research division at Ancestry.com.
I am. I've been listening the entire time. I was hoping to help Nigel find some familiar information before the end of the episode, but of course Itsu's appeared, and I've discovered something doing my research that I think could help bond the two of them. But it turns out one of Itsu's great grandparents was in fact human.
Wait, are you saying that Itsu himself is part human?
Itsu himself is part human. So Nigel and Itsu have that in common.
Itsu, you are a bitch.
This is
you are a bitch
poop.
Now too.
This is absolute goat poop.
Now you are weak too.
I have lots of paperwork to prove it. I can start reading through this all if you really want me to.
Yeah. Please, Mr. Mara. Itsu seems incredulous to this discovery.
Would you call me
Itsu?
Incredulous.
Yes, incredulous. I called you incredulous. I described you as incredulous. You do not believe Chimera's belief here. You called it goat poop, I believe.
Oh, that's the worst thing you call something, goat poop. The only poop we won't eat is Yetis.
Wow. Okay.
Well, it turns out that Yetis love documenting things. There are birth records going back.
We do. Oh. We do love documenting shit.
Birth records going back at least 18 generations of Yetis. And again, Itsu's great grandfather on one side was human, completely human.
Wait, a male?
A male. It was a human male.
Oh, no, that's worse.
A male human had sex with a female Yeti.
Must have been a strong man.
Wow.
Or a powerful female woman.
How does that feel to know, Itsu, that you are indeed part human?
I feel like that makes my piece of shit son two sides human now.
What?
Two sides.
Which is so much worse. Because now he has his mother who's human, and then I have some human on my side, so both sides of his tree have some human in it.
So you disapprove of him even more?
I'm like 3/8 Yeti.
Now he's going to throw math in my face when everyone knows Yetis don't do math.
Yetis go to university, but they don't do math?
Everyone knows that, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Chimera, I think this is a wonderful discovery. I think it verily humanizes Itsu.
Exactly. I don't want to be partial. I'm just here to present facts. But at the same time, since both of them are a mix, I felt that this could be the first step to bonding.
Yeah.
I think you were right to think, Mr. Mara, that this would surely bring them closer, having this humanity in common, but it seems that Itsu only like further degrades his son. He thinks he's
I guess if I'm a terrible human too, I guess maybe. Was it Nigel?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Nigel? If you want to go maybe attack some campers in the woods sometime and eat their heads, maybe you can come with. Yeah, I don't know.
Nigel, are you agreeing to attack humans with your father and eating their heads? That's cannibalism.
I will go with him and I'll try and make it not crazy, but just spend some time.
Kill them.
How would you try to make it not crazy?
I'm mostly Yeti. I mean, there's a small percentage of me that's human. It's probably just the dick, unfortunately.
Nigel, you said you would accompany your father.
I've always wondered about my human-like dick.
So there, it seems like you're willing to accept this truth that Chimera from Ancestry.com's research division has brought to you.
Maybe a research division of a website sounds pretty legit.
Lots of paperwork. Again, I'm happy to make copies. I can email it if you have Yeti email.
Do Yetis have email?
We have leaflets.
Oh.
You can't fuck him now.
Wait, what was that, Hal?
Now you can't fuck him. Now you can't even have...
You're
can't
so wise, even, Hal.
God, you people are disgusting. I have really good, gas. And I want to give it to all of you. All right?
I can't tell if he's describing gasoline.
I really
want
to give it to you.
You really want to give your gas to us?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds less and less appealing the more I hear of it. Well, Chimera, you're a fantastic expert. You've brought on, you've helped us understand this discovery about the humanity shared between Itsu and his son Nigel. Do you have any advice for Nigel here? Is there anything that you think would help him getting closer to his father, other than knowing that his father is also part human?
Well, again, I prefer to just stick to the facts, but I think it'd be beneficial for both of them to maybe not act on this immediately. Just let the information sink in.
Sink in, and then murder. Then murder late, like murder tomorrow. Murder and kill tomorrow.
Yeah, don't murder today. Wait, sleep on it. Sleep on the murder.
So if we learned anything with Dr. Fix Me, your so-called doctor, is that you should murder tomorrow.
Well, I didn't say that. I feel like that's just...
Look, but that's the lesson. That's the lesson
we're learning here.
Yeah.
I'll say don't murder today. I'm not saying murder tomorrow, but I'm saying don't murder today.
Plan the murder for tomorrow, but sleep on it. Let it sink in.
Yeah. Ancestry.com is famously pro murder tomorrow.
Because the more people we murder, the more people Ancestry.com can connect.
Yeah, because they have the death records. Yeah.
Ancestry.com, can you only connect people once they're dead?
It's easier that way, but I'm just happy to have you.
Yeah, Yetis and Ancestry.com have had an alliance for decades where we would murder people for them.
I love paperwork, not just birth records, not just marriage certificates, but death records. And if there happens to be more death records tomorrow, I'm happy to file that paperwork.
Itsu, did you mention that you used to kill for Ancestry.com? Is that what you would work for them?
Well, yeah, we had to outsource some murder back in the 80s. You know, it took a dip in the Yeti economy.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm talking about the 1880s.
The 1880s?
I'm not that old. Yetis are a normal lifespan.
Oh, okay. I was going to be
so gullible because you're a stupid human.
Well, that would have given me hope, Itsu, knowing that you live so long that maybe it would give Nigel a chance to live beyond the 40s. Because as we all know, Germans have a low...
Because like other Yetis are going to eat him.
You're saying that he might not die of natural causes? He might be eaten by Yetis?
Oh, no German dies of natural causes.
Oh, is that true, Nigel? I thought you were just saying that you...
That's why they have their size of them. You know, when they get to the size of them, that you can eat them. Oh. Yetis come down and eat them.
Yeah, that's why we have the Scheisewitz, is we say goodbye and then people disappear. That's how death works.
You go to the woods and you die and Yetis eat you.
Yeah, explain to me a Scheisewitz. What all takes place in a typical Scheisewitz? It sounds like it's less of a celebration, more of a goodbye.
Okay, well, maybe. I mean, at your Scheisewitz, everyone comes to your house, you show them all of your things, and then you put them in the living room, and then you say goodbye, and you go to the woods, and then it's you show them your gifts, and say celebrate that you have made it to the age you made it to, and wave, and go to the woods, and spend your time. Wow. This is the Scheisewitz.
So after your Scheisewitz on the 38th birthday, it's just a matter of time before you just walk off into the woods right after the Scheisewitz or during the Scheisewitz, but then you spend the rest of your time in the woods just waiting for impending death via Yeti?
I mean, maybe you just... All I know is that you go to the woods and no one's ever came back from the woods.
Oh, well, I think
Dr. Fix Me.
Yes, Mr. Chimera.
I'd just like to jump in here. I have lots of paperwork. Every single death that's occurred in Germany has been a disappearance in the woods.
Every single death?
Every single death in Germany.
Oh, in Germany. Wow. I didn't realize that. That's so... It wasn't just natural causes or diseases. One way or another, people were slain murdered in the woods.
Well, what could be more natural than being killed by a Yeti in the woods?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. I'm not German myself, or culturally speaking. I'm just from the Midwest, Chicagoland area of the United States. I'm unfamiliar with both German longevity, the Scheisewitz, as well as Yeti. So I'm completely ignorant here, and I don't know if any of this has helped you, Nigel. And so I got to point it to you, Nigel. How do you feel now that we've reached, I guess, the end of this episode? Do you feel like anything has been accomplished?
Dr. Fix-Me, this has been a roller coaster of emotions, of up and down, feeling like I found my papa, I lost him, I found him. And I'm just excited to maybe spend some time, whether it's murder or not murder. I feel like I learned a lot, and I'm.
Are you going to wait until your Scheisewitz to meet your father, or do you think that you will, from here, go straight into the woods in southern Germany?
I am hoping on the day of my Scheisewitz to walk out into the woods and see my father waiting.
Wow, that's I actually kind of sounds romantic.
That is my wish,
and I can maybe make that happen.
Would you, you'd be able to accommodate?
I do go every year down and take a human and usually murder it, but we can see.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like love language to me.
Oh, wow. Well,
God, the same thing. You're bullshit.
This affection is unwanted by Itsu, but Nigel, I commend you for it. I think it's fantastic that you remain hopeful. I worry for your life and your safety, but it seems like this is what you want, and ultimately that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you with this issue.
Thank you. And you know what I think the most badass thing is?
Yes.
Love and acceptance. So
love and acceptance. Oh, I agree with that, Nigel. I think that's if there's one takeaway from this episode for the listener, please understand that love
murder
and acceptance.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Murder tomorrow.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say.
That's the news. That's
love and
the
acceptance.
News.
I'm trying to echo the love and acceptance thing that you just said, Nigel.
But
you know what? I want to thank our expert of this evening, Kai Mera of Ancestry.com, the research division. Thank you so much for illuminating this situation, understanding the literal relationship between Itsu and his son, Nigel.
My pleasure, Dr. Fix-Me. And Nigel, when you're going off into the woods, I'd love to be there.
You are welcome.
Oh, is this for like Ancestry.com purposes to help?
A little of that, and honestly, a little for me.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, you know what? I guess I don't even know what to say to that. Just good on you, I
felt the connection today.
And you know what? I feel like we all felt a connection today. It seems like Nigel feels connected to his father. Itsu, do you feel connected at all to anyone here?
No.
No? Not at all? Okay. Hal's Gas. Hal, do you feel connected to anyone here? I want to touch base with our sponsor, without whom this episode wouldn't be possible.
I'm going to be the third wheel on that trip into the woods, because I'm pretty sure it's the gold mine for Yeti Gas.
Yeti gas? I'm curious to know, what is Yeti gas? What do you mean by that?
We ground the bones up and we make an accelerant. Human bones are very versatile.
It's what the Yetis world. Grind up the human bones. Okay, I see what it is. It's gas that's made by
the world.
Yetis. Did you say you want to change the
I'm
world,
change
Hal?
The world.
Oh my goodness. Well, with that, I want to thank our sponsor. Thank you very much, Hal's Gas. If you want to get a hold of Hal's Gas, go to any one of his many gas stations throughout the United States, I presume. I myself have never run into one, but I can only imagine they're out there. Thank you, Itsu, for being on the show, for providing a perspective on where Nigel comes from that explains his thick build and his
call that thick, that puny human body that's 6'7".
Oh, boy.
It's big for a human. It's big. Yeah, I'm big.
It's big for a human.
Yeah.
That's like saying it's big for a peanut.
I'm like 3/8 Yeti.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Nigel, I think that we've ended this episode in a place that's better than where you originally began at the start of this episode. Good. And you agree.
I think it's Nagul.
No, Itsu, you're getting further and further away from the name. It's Nigel. It's Nigel. And you know what? I got to take a win where I can. I don't know how I've helped you, Nigel, but as long as you feel that I've helped you or that you have been helped, then you know what? I'll take that. And with that, I got to say, Nigel, you have been fixed.
Yeah.
This has been Dr. Fix Me. Today's episode is performed by Miles Potter, Joe Gianni, Nick Demos, and Michael Ostrowskis. Dr. Fix Me theme song written and performed by Allison Miller. Enjoy the show? Let us know at drfixmeshow@gmail.com. You can follow Dr. Fix Me on Instagram at Dr. Fix Me and on Facebook at Dr. Fix Me Show. Watch live episodes of Dr. Fix Me on YouTube. Rate and review Dr. Fix Me on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your audio entertainment. Editing, production, direction, and Dr. Fix Me performed by yours truly, Michael Kim Lewis. Thank you for listening.
Give me a Yeti name. Give me a Yeti name.
There are no Yeti names.
Well, but it's based on what I've done. What have I done? Give me my Yeti name.
You've done nothing, so nothing. That's your name. Come on.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Nigel, I'm afraid you walked into that one. I'm so sorry, Nigel.